Happy Hanukkah. The week previous, kept hearing that all the time. You hear it on TV. When I watch news, it's Fox News. And this year, Hanukkah, it always falls someplace between November and the end of December, but this year it was November 28th to December 6th from sundown to sundown. For Americans, Hanukkah is the best known of the Jewish holidays, not because of its great religious significance, but because it's so close to Christmas. You'll hear those greetings by many people on television and so on. But many non-Jews think that the holiday is the Jewish Christmas. And Hanukkah has, Americans particularly have adopted a number of the Christmas customs and gift giving and decorations and all that kind of stuff. In the United States particularly, they've done that. But it's ironic because this holiday really is rooted in a revolution. It was quite a bloody thing. And what they were trying to do is stop themselves from being forced to be assimilated into the Greek culture. They just didn't want that. The Jews were suppressed and their religion was suppressed. And it was demanded that they change or be killed. And a number of them were killed as a result of that. Hanukkah, it is a Jewish holiday. But what I find interesting is I started looking into this, and now I know why, but you will not find one single solitary mention of the festival of Hanukkah in the Old Testament. It is not there. However, the only place you find it mentioned is in the New Testament, as related to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. John chapter 10 is where we find it. So looking at John chapter 10, we get this. It says, "And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of dedication." Now, it's very interesting. The word dedication there in the Hebrew is Hanukkah, all right, at the Feast of Dedication. That's the Jewish translation. And it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. So this holiday somehow is celebrated in the New Testament. It wasn't mentioned in the Old Testament. It's called the Feast of Dedication. Nowadays, it's called Hanukkah. It's also called the Feast or the Festival of Lights. And as I already mentioned, the word dedication in the Hebrew is Hanukkah. And you can search the Old Testament, and you'll not find a single reference to the feast. And the only place it shows up here is in New Testament times. The first Hanukkah. We go back and remember Hanukkah always falls. The Jews, they have a strange calendar. They don't do things the way we do. So Hanukkah moves just like Easter moves. Sometimes it is in November. Sometimes it's in December. But it happened in Kislev 25 in 164 B.C. That is the first Hanukkah. And that really explains why you don't find it in the Old Testament, because you'll remember how many of you have ever heard of the 400 silent years, all right? From the ending of the Old Testament to the beginning of the New Testament, God gave no new revelation from the time that the Old Testament closed until we have the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's called the 400 silent years. And the first Hanukkah didn't occur until 164 BC. The Old Testament canon had been closed for 230 years by that time, because it was closed at about 400 BC. So it had been closed a long time. And It never would have been in the Old Testament because didn't happen while God was revealing himself in the Old Testament. Now, the holiday of Hanukkah celebrates the events that took place over 2,300 years ago in the land of Judea, which is now Israel. You'll remember that Israel, go back to the times of Daniel, times of Nebuchadnezzar, Israel strayed away from God. Israel turned its back on God, so Israel went into captivity. And as you heard here, if you were at the banquet, that Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they were captive. So was Daniel, so was Jeremiah at that time, and so was Ezekiel. Jeremiah stayed in Israel while Ezekiel, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, also known as their Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were in captivity. And Israel kept being under, after Nebuchadnezzar, we came to the Persians, Assyrians, and so on. But that's, we go back to the reign of Alexander the Great. Now, Alexander the Great reigned from 336 to 323 BC, and he conquered Syria, Egypt, and Israel. But what he did is he allowed those nations under his control to observe their own religion. They retained a degree of autonomy. They had to pay their dues to Alexander the Great and all that kind of stuff, but he was relatively benevolent. But he introduced the Hellenistic culture. What's the Hellenistic culture? The Greek culture. That's why in Jesus' time, guess what the trade language was? It was Greek. Now I say, well, how can that be? Because the Romans, who spoke what? Latin. The Romans were the ones who were in charge of Israel at that time. And yet the scribes and the Pharisees, they spoke Hebrew. But you say, well, how come we have the Greek New Testament? Well, that was the major language of the day. But guess what? Remember when Jesus Christ died on the cross, the King of the Jews was written in three languages. It was written in Latin, it was written in Greek, and it was written in Hebrew. So everybody could see it. Well, now, Hellenization, that's what Hellenization is. When Alexander the Great was in control there, he brought the Greek language, Greek customs, Greek dress, in much the same way that American Jews today blend into secular American society and secular American culture. It's very interesting when you go to Israel, you can oftentimes very clearly see which ones are the Jews. Particularly, it's easy to identify the Hasidic Jews with their hats and their type of garb and all that sort of things. But a little more than 100 years after Alexander the Great, Antiochus IV came to power in the region. And he called himself Epiphanes. What that means is God manifest. He acted like he was God, and he really did. He had the power of life and death in his hands. And so Antiochus IV, called Epiphanes, means God manifest. In fact, he had coins stamped that had his face on it, had his head on it, and then he said, God manifest on those coins. But he hated the Jews. He outlawed the Jewish religion and its right. He massacred Jews who refused to bow to him. And he installed the Greek language and influence. And he even installed a Greek priest for the temple to be the high priest in the Jewish temple. And then what he did was desecrated the temple by requiring the sacrifice of pigs and other pigs, and they are an unclean animal. So he regularly would sacrifice a pig on the altar, and then he sent his troops around, and they were going to try and sacrifice pigs in the various synagogues in the area. And the Jews, you know, they weren't allowed to eat unclean animals. They weren't allowed to sacrifice unclean animals. He was going to force the Jews to be Greek. And they wouldn't hear of it. Many of them lost their lives. He even ordered them to bow and worship Zeus as the supreme god, and set up Zeus there in the temple. And he stamped, as I already mentioned, with his face on it, coins that said God manifest. Now, at first, the Jews thought, maybe this is going to pass. You know, tragically, Jews are a lot like that. Think of the Holocaust. A lot of them thought, well, this will pass. We'll be all right. But thankfully, there was some who finally had enough of it, and they stood up, and they had a small guerrilla band of Jews, and they went up against the Syrian army. Their leader was Matthias, and he was a Hasmonean, and he had a son named Judas Maccabee. His nickname was the Hammer, the Hammer. And Antiochus sent an army, but the Maccabees supernaturally succeeded in repelling the army. Then when Judas Maccabee and his group came to the Temple Mount after they defeated the army, they found it defiled with all kinds of pig blood, and they had a lot of cleaning to do, and they got rid of the Greek priest. They cleansed the temple and rededicated it. Here it is. This is where the origin of Hanukkah is. They rededicated the temple on the 25th day of Kislev on the Jewish calendar, which was in the winter. As I mentioned, each year, Hanukkah falls sometime from November to December. Now we move from history to the Talmud. And the Talmud is not like the Tanakh. The Tanakh is the Old Testament, the Hebrew Old Testament. The Talmud is the writings of the Jewish priests, this oral tradition that has been written down. And when they came to relight the temple menorah, when we were going through Exodus, you see there had to be a special kind of oil. It had to be prepared in a special way. It had to have the stamp of the priest on it, all those things that we studied in Exodus. And they wanted, after they cleansed the temple, they wanted to relight the menorah. And that's the seven-branch candlestick that you often see in Jewish pictures. And they only found a small jar of oil to light the lamp, the seven-branched lamp at that time. And so they lit it, and miraculously, the Talmud says, the small jar of oil lasted 8 days. That's why they celebrate Hanukkah for 8 days, because the light in the menorah continued to burn for eight days until the priest could go through and get new oil for the lamp to be relit in the temple there. So today, Hanukkah is observed, and you have a picture of it there. Instead of a seven-branch candle, you have an eight-branch candelabra with a center candle, which is lighting candle. So that high candle you see in your notes there, for each day they take that center candle and they light one of the candles for each of the 8 days of Hanukkah. They remember the time when the temple was cleansed, when the temple was made again to be able to be usable to have the Old Testament Jewish sacrifices. And so that is Jesus there when we come. He is in the temple that previously had been cleansed there, and that's where Jesus was at in that temple, and that's what they were doing. They were celebrating the Feast of Dedication, lighting a candle a day on this special candelabra in honor of the historic victory. Now, as we saw in John chapter 10, verse 22 and 23, Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, was in the temple at the Feast of Dedication at Hanukkah. It was winter, and he was walking in the area, according to the text, in Solomon's porch. That's the portico that's around the edge there. And during this great season of remembering the miracles of Hanukkah, it's really neat what Jesus Christ does. He tries to get their eyes off of, certainly it was good that they cleansed the temple. Certainly it was good that the temple was usable. But now Jesus Christ, the true light of the world, the Messiah, is there. And they're celebrating this, and they're missing their true Messiah. Jesus pointed out to his listeners that the miracles that he had done authenticated his claim of who he was, and in fact, he was the long-awaited Jewish Messiah. Let's turn back to John chapter 10, and we get to John chapter 10, and we look at verse 37 and 38. He says, "If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not." And then in verse 38, "But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." So he's right there. It's Hanukkah. They're lighting these candles, and Jesus says, "You're missing it. I'm the long-awaited Messiah. I am the light of the world, and you're thinking about the Hanukkah light when you need to think about who I really am." Jesus said in John chapter 8, down in verse 12, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." You know, it's so sad. It's so sad that so many people miss the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ at Christmas time or at Hanukkah. I mean, they get so busy in the secular celebration of Christmas that for more and more Americans each year, and they'll spend $6 billion on gifts and things this Christmas, and they'll sing Jingle Bells and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer and all the rest of the songs and have a good time and all that kind of stuff. And they're missing the real message of Hanukkah. They're missing the real message of Christmas. Santa Claus isn't going to be worth a nickel when it comes to eternity, my friends. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. As best as you can, make sure that you get across the true message of Christmas. We'll do it at my house when everybody gathers together here. Oh, yes, we'll discreetly share some gifts and that sort of things. I think that that's really great. But you and I know that the greatest gift of all, and here Jesus is walking in the temple, and he says, "Hey, you're missing the real light. I am the light of the world." And they're busy lighting their Hanukkah candles and thinking about the temple being cleansed, and they're missing their Messiah. What a great, great tragedy that is. Jesus, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Lord Jesus gives us all, Jews and Gentiles, the light of life. And he commanded us now as believers, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. When Jesus was here, he was the light of the world. Who's the light of the world now? It's us. And that's why I like that little song, the little kid's song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. We do need to let our light shine, and what better of a time to let our light shine than right now around Christmas. My son, who was at a one of those Christmas fairs, he's got Plank Road coffee roasters, and there was a little Jewish guy and their family came, and the Jewish people were wearing Hanukkah, and Steve said, oh, well, it's Hanukkah. Did you have a good Hanukkah? I was talking to the little kid, and the mother was really excited and said, you know, you're the first one who noted that. What do you know about that? And he got talking. He says, well, I follow Jesus, the true light, what's the most important at all. But I understand what Hanukkah means to you folks as well. So I hope you've had a good one. But Jesus is the real reason for the situation. So he turned it into a witnessing opportunity at that time. And we need to try and do that. We need to try and take this time of year and, turn it into a witnessing opportunity. The touch of the Master's hands, good tidings of great joy. There's tracts back on the table. Linda's in the process of putting together our Christmas letter, and we'll point people to the truth about Christmas. But, you know, the truth about Hanukkah, the truth about Christmas, it all points to Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. Amen? I mean, that's just the way it is. In Matthew chapter 24, the disciples of Jesus ask him about the end of the age and his coming, and Jesus revealed that Hanukkah is going to happen again. You say, well, what are you talking about? Well, Paul told the Thessalonians, a man called the Antichrist will force the world to assimilate his worldview. He's going to force them to get the mark so that they can buy or they can sell or they can get gain. And he's going to, put himself up in the tribulation temple and demand that people worship him. Same thing that Antiochus Epiphanes did in the tribulation. I'm glad we won't be here, but they're going to force people to acknowledge that he's God. And Matthew 24, 20 and 21 says, but pray that your flight be not in winter or on the Sabbath day. It says, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And then talking about him putting his image in the tribulation temple, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first. I believe that's the rapture. We're out of here. Then that man of sin shall be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. It's like Antiochus Epiphanes all over again, but King Jesus is going to cleanse things. King Jesus will take care of it. King Jesus shall destroy him with the brightness of his coming. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8. Well, the world looks very dark right now, and I can just tell you, and you know it, and I know it, but there's a spirit in this world that's trying to squeeze us into the mold of the world and make us assimilate what the world does, trying to change our culture, trying to change our beliefs, trying to get us to accept the morals and the dogmas of the day. I'll tell you what, we need to be passionate. We need to be a new remnant. We need to be resilient believers and resist that. We just need to get ourselves on fire to worship the Lord and surrender ourselves to Him and refuse to let the world squeeze us into its mold. We need to rededicate ourselves and refine ourselves and reburn our hearts and live for the Lord Jesus Christ in this season. Should Christians celebrate Hanukkah? We're not under any obligation to celebrate any of the Jewish festivals given in the law of Moses. Christ has fulfilled the law. But Hanukkah was added in the intertestamental period after the Old Testament was complete. I would say this, and here's my application. I want you to listen. I thought about this. I'd say this, it's a good idea to cleanse God's temple and rededicate it to the Lord's service. We need to do that. Well, where is the Lord's temple? Right here. I think it is a good idea to cleanse the Lord's temple and to rededicate it to the Lord, because ye are the temple of the living God, according to 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16. As Christians, we can celebrate the festival of lights as we dedicate our lives to Christ and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the perfect and true light in the world. As believers, when we come to Hanukkah, might we be reminded of God's wonderful truth that Jesus is the light of the world. May we bring to mind God's protection throughout our lives, and may it prompt us to remain true to God even in a world that is going nuts after the flesh. So some thoughts, a little shorter message than normal, but some thoughts on Hanukkah, its history, and the fact that we need to cleanse this temple and live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's have our heads bowed.